If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the passage that we read together, that Doc read for us, Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there is one. It should be in the seat below there in front of you. And if you don't own one and you want to copy the scriptures, that's our gift to you. Please take that with you. Acts chapter 2. You're just jumping on board if it's been a little while. We have quite a few number of people that are missing today as well. But if it's been a while or if you're visiting with us, we are going through the Gospel of Acts. And specifically, we're seeing how the gospel does act. What is the gospel in motion? What does it look like? What did, remember, in our study, at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, Jesus began to do and to teach. And so there are these things, these truths that Jesus, who embodied this truth, who was this truth actually, he came to begin, he wanted, he began to do and to teach, and then Acts really is those things that Jesus taught. It's like that in the flesh. It's that action being carried out. It's Jesus' mission for his believers, or chapter 1 verse 8 says, those that are witnesses, of which we are. And so that's our study, and that's where we are. In this, and in chapter 2, towards the end, those last group of verses that where we are, what we do is we get to see here what it looks like, this life on mission, when believers are devoted to Jesus' glory. When we're devoted, when the church is devoted to the glory of Jesus, this is what can happen. And so we want to look at that text this morning. I want to remind us as a church, it'd be very easy for us to take the easy way out, for us to use certain human schemes and manipulations and growth, church growth strategies. These sort of build it and they will come kind of mentality. But when we rely upon, when we glorify Jesus and we rely upon the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, then real work happens, real transformation. It's a pretty amazing church, isn't it? If you're a believer here, you can attest to this, that when deficient and dependent people like you and me, when we glorify Jesus, when we do what Jesus prescribed, not those manipulative or faithless schemes, growth strategies, then the Spirit does his work, and it's really a glorious thing to be part of, an absolute glorious thing. And that's exactly what we read of here in these handful of verses this morning. And so, I want to start off here by pointing out one specific word with you this morning. If you look in your text there in chapter 2, I want you to see verse 42 specifically. Verse 42, the scripture says, and they, what's the next word? Devoted. And they devoted themselves to, and then it goes on to list some different things. Church, there's a pretty amazing things that happened. Just one verse above that, verse 41, it says, so those who received the word were baptized, and they were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Amazing thing to see that many people come to faith in Christ at one time. It would have been pretty amazing, I bet. And then we look at verse 42 down through the end there. We see a church in action. We see a church, a healthy church, and these sort of things. And all of that was work, because the work was based, God used devoted people. And when dependent and deficient people like you and me are devoted to Christ, devoted to his glory, then amazing things can happen, if that's God's will. Now, I do want to look at this text, and God chose specifically to work in this way, but just before I get started here and look at what this devotion of life looks like in the life of a church, I do want to say that there are times when God chooses not to work in what we would say magnanimous ways like we read here in this text. For instance, think of, I think it was Adoniram Judson, right? One of the missionaries was on the field for nearly, I think, a dozen years without a convert. And yet, we look back today and we see how his ministry changed the world over there. It just took a long time. So sometimes the results aren't immediate, but God does work, and he does work in amazing ways. And I want this passage to encourage us this morning That work happens through people like you and me, deficient, dependent people, but we have to be devoted. And so we notice there that what the devotion in the life of the church looks like. A devotion that really, first of all, we're going to see this morning, you know, what does this devotion and such look like? Devotion leads to or allows for, number one, a healthy church. We see that right there in verse number 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Four things that we see here of what a healthy church looks like. The Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures. Now, at this time, remember, on the historic redemptive timeline, as we've talked about this, this specific, I've used this phraseology before, like this unicorn thing is going on here where it's this thing that, remember, Joel said, hey, this is coming, this new covenant is coming. Ezekiel said, hey, there's going to be a time when dead people come to life, these dry bones. And Peter says, hey, look, what they talked about, that is this, of what's happening here in Acts chapter 2. So this thing happening is that, this is that. And so we see these things happening, and this is what's going on at this specific time, this transitional time in the life of the church. And as this is going on, we have these unique things that are happening. At this time also, they don't have the completed canon of Scripture like you and I have, whether it's on your phone or in your lap. They don't have the completed Word of God. What they do have is they do have some manuscripts, some extant manuscripts and such of specifically Old Testament. The writing of the New Testament would come some years after this, about 30 some years later, they would start writing these things down. So they don't have the complete, they don't even have the New Testament. But what they do have is, and one commentator put it like this, I think he put it well, just as the apostles had been instructed by Jesus, and so they passed along that instruction to the new Christians. Remember the 3-year seminary that those guys got to go through? One-on-one seminary with Jesus? Well, now that was coming, fruit of that was coming out as they were able to teach other people that. This would have included such subjects as his resurrection, the Old Testament scriptures, whatever they would have had at that time, the Christian witness, and surely their own memories of Jesus' earthly ministry and teachings. Now today, again, that was on that historic redemptive timeline, that was then. Now today, we do have that completed scriptures. And so what we would say today, we would put it like this, is that this church, our church, practical application, we should be devoted to what? To the scriptures. To these collections of teachings and writings. And not just that, but also these people are not only devoted to the scriptures, they were devoted to talking about it too. Talking about what God was doing, talking about the work of the gospel, talking about the truths of Jesus and these sorts of things. And so we see there that devotion leads to or allows for a healthy church. That healthy church, what does it look like? It looks like people who are devoted to teaching. Secondly, they also were devoted to, and notice how this is written, and I want you to see this. Sometimes we don't get this. They were devoted to what kind of fellowship does it say there? They were devoted to, what's the word right before fellowship? The fellowship. You see that? They were devoted to the fellowship. In other words, it's a noun, not a verb. Which means is that they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to the fellowship. The fellowship is a group of people here, is what it's talking about. Remember we talked about what a church is? We've talked about that in the last couple weeks. What is a church? All right? And so here, a devotion, they were devoted to each other, and that devotion to each other allows for or leads to a healthy body, meaning believers here. And this local church, this church here that started out in Jerusalem, they were keenly interested and intentional about the physical well-being, the spiritual health, and just the general welfare of each other's lives. We would say it this way. This is how I would say it. This relationship they had wasn't a Sunday-only thing. They were keenly interested in each other. Hey, what's going on in your life? What are you doing? Oh, you need to borrow this? Here, you can have this. You need help here? Okay, I can help you here. Hey, let's get together on Thursday night, or let's do this. All of these things, this devotion that they had allowed for a healthy church. As I said there, the text it has a definite article right before the word fellowship, the fellowship, meaning the noun, the people. But thirdly, these people who were the fellowship obviously fellowshipped. Get that? All right, say that 5 times real fast. We read that here because it says there in the text that they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, this carries the sense of sharing a meal together, and specifically in the remembrance of what Jesus did. Specifically, what I think this text is saying here is as I believe that they shared together the Lord's Supper, which we do here together at the last Sunday of every month. Also, though, I also believe it's talking about something a little bit wider than that. It probably also involved their participation in the larger meal that they called the love feast. In other words, the church here intentionally assembled together to remember and talk about fellowshipped about the person and the work of Jesus. Exactly what the apostles, they had given themselves to that preaching and teaching of the apostles, the Old Testament scriptures as they had it, the truths that those apostles learned in their Jesus seminary days, those 3 specific years, and the fellowship had given themselves to this fellowship. And again, church, it wasn't a Sunday-only thing. It wasn't a guess who's coming to dinner twice a year thing either. This was a common or regular type of thing where this church, they were devoted to each other in fellowship. One more there in verse 42, it says they were also devoted to the prayers. Now, you'll see again, because I know you're thinking, people, well, there's an article then right before the word prayers there. So perhaps, and there's different thoughts about why it's the prayers. Most likely, it's probably referring to what's evidenced there in chapter 3 and verse 1. So just look there right down a couple verses. It says, now Peter and John, they were going up to the temple about at the hour of the prayer, the 9th hour. So most likely what was happening and what they were talking to is that they had these regular, scheduled, engaged times of prayer together as a church family. And I think that's exactly the point here, is that devotion to prayer together leads to a healthy church. Of course, there's times of personal prayer, but a church must be committed to praying together as well. I can't stress enough about the impact that has on the life of a church. I've shared this illustration with you before, and I think it's one that I hope that you remember. I just shared it with the new members class last Saturday. I think it was it goes something like this, not word for word am I remembering the story, but a reporter or somebody showed up at Spurgeon's church and wanted to do an interview or something like that and just said basically, hey, what's the secret? You know, your church is growing, it's well known here in London and yada, 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 and what's the secret? And Spurgeon says, I'll show you. So Spurgeon takes this reporter fella and he walks through the church's building and he goes down to the basement to the boiler room. He opens the doors to the boiler room, and in that boiler room were, if I remember right, there were hundreds of people on their knees praying. Church, I really think that that's an accurate illustration of what's happening here in Acts chapter 2. Devotion to prayer, not just privately but corporately, is or allows for, we see what God is doing here. Allows for Jesus to be glorified, allows for the gospel to be go for. God, it's like prayer is like the energizer bunny in a church. It's important. It's why we pray together in our corporate services, why we pray together for each other, around each other, for it, in life groups, Well, we have a Wednesday time that we started. Wednesday prayer this coming Wednesday is one of those, the first and third Wednesday. Just a couple weeks ago, somebody in our church needed prayer, and so the elders, we went over to their home and prayed with them, for them. Corporate prayer is an essential part of the life and the body of the church, for healthy church. And this church gave, they were devoted to this, and I can't stress this enough. Church, I know a lot of you probably know these passages, you've read these verses before, but don't let the familiarity of the passage really quiet the truth of what we read here. The power and the work of the Holy Spirit continues after our conversion. After verse 41, when those 3,000 people came to faith in Christ, it continued. The Holy Spirit continued to work through a devoted people. And those devoted people led to a healthy church family. And do you see how the gospel went out? And it went out where? Back in chapter 1, verse 8, it started there in Jerusalem, but then it went out to the uttermost. It went out to the ends of the earth. That's what a devoted people, look, that's what a healthy church can accomplish. And we have this greater city of Columbus in which we live, where there are 2 million plus people that need to hear about the person and the work of Jesus. A healthy church can make a dent in that. Now, honestly, a casual observation of our culture today really doesn't provide for us what the word devotion really means, does it? There's been a reinvention of what the word devotion means. We live in a culture of casual commitment. Job hopping used to be considered taboo, but has steadily increased for a variety of reasons. Employees and employers are quick to jump ship for a variety of maybe political, economic, or just other cultural values. More couples won't commit to each other in marriage than ever before. In 1997, the cohabitation rate was about 20%. By just 2017, that rate rose up to 35%. Our culture has redefined commitment or devotion, but the word devoted here isn't half-hearted or unintentional at all. Let me paint a picture for you what this word devoted means. Think with me two passages. You remember in John chapter 8? Jesus is talking and he says this. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You remember that passage? And what Jesus is quoting was Exodus chapter 3, where God said, I am who I am. Now, in English, that's pretty difficult, really in any language, it's pretty difficult to define specifically. But what that word means, that word I am in the Hebrew in Exodus chapter 3, it means I exist as, or I, and this is not proper English, so please forgive me, but it's like I be this, I am being that, I exist as, so it's essence, it's not just characteristic, it's essence of a person. So what God was saying in Exodus is that I am the self-existing one. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I am that same person. That's why they were so angry with him. Because there's only one person who has this kind of characteristic. Now, here's the really, get this, this is really weird. It's going to come, like, it sounds weird, but you're going to get it here in a second. In Acts chapter 2, that word devoted is the same word as the word I am. Exactly. You're like, what does that mean? Here's the point. It was the word for existence, for being, right? These believers weren't casually committed to each other. They weren't casually devoted. They weren't casual about their relationship with the Scriptures. They weren't casual with their relationship with each other. They weren't partial or occasional with their fellowship or with prayer. In other words, That very word that means I am or existed or I am being something, this church was existed or was being for devotion to the life and the body of Christ. That's how strong of the word is that we see here. It was not a casual commitment. It was part of their essence or their, not even characteristic, it was their essence. It was their being. They were given to it. Now, do you see how important or see what devotion really here is? Our culture doesn't give us a great picture of that today. But in this text, we see here that they existed as or they were for devotion to this life in the body of Christ. Devotion or commitment is part of the existence and essence of a believer. It's a non-negotiable, in other words. Non-negotiable. Barna Group says that, I think it's like two out of five people, that's 40%. Two out of five people date the church. In other words, they go as they want. It's casual. It might be multiple different churches that they go to. That's not what we read here in the text. What we read here in the text is what? That they were devoted to this. Devoted to this. Now, second thing, what we see here in the text is that they were, is that they were devoted to, or devotion leads to movement. Let me explain what that means here, just a second. Look at verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All right, now, as this was the first church in Jerusalem, it was faithful and intentional in the works of Jesus. What God did is he moved. The text says that there was wonders and signs were done. Now, we need to remember, as I said, this was done at the startup, right, of the church age, moving from Israel as the ones who God chose to be his ambassadors to this new and combined people we call the church. The church now carries out this work. So with this transition, the Holy Spirit worked and moved in what we call miraculous different ways. The point is, and what I want us to see here is that God works when people are devoted. When people are devoted and it's a healthy church, then what happens is that God works. Now, it might not look like 3,000 people at once came to faith in Christ. But God does work in the hearts and the minds of people. God continues to work. When Jesus is glorified, when Jesus is lifted up, not a political stump or not these different things that we find in life, but when Jesus is lifted up, he says, I will draw all men to myself. And when that happens, what happens? God moves. There's movement that happens. Next, devotion also leads to concern. Look at verse 44 and 45 with me. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. What this means is that devotion leads to concern. A local church is fundamentally concerned for and willing to provide assistance to each other. Now, there is some confusion, maybe a little bit, about the wording of this, what this passage means. When some people read, they had all things in common, right? It doesn't mean some sort of cultish thing. As in, and I wish one of you had a Ferrari, because I would totally just, like, and I would be joking, but I would like totally be like, see, we have all things in common. You have to let me borrow your Ferrari. It's biblical. It's a biblical thing. Now, if you do have a Ferrari, you're like, I hope he never finds out. It doesn't mean some sort of cultish thing that it is wrong to have personal things. Now, how do we do that? Remember, Bible study people. We have to interpret the scripture in light of the scripture. Okay? If you look at, don't turn there, and we'll get there eventually, but in Acts 5, Peter says to Ananias, he says this about the field, the land that he sold. He said, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And then after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? So here, Peter says that this land Ananias had was his own even before and after, and that God was to lead him and how he used his possessions, how he used this, separate from the subject of him lying to the Holy Spirit. The point is that it's not some sort of cultist thing. What it means is, what the text means here, is that the body of Christ, that devotion here, leads to concern for each other. Hey, you have this need? I can meet it. I can't meet it, but I'm going to pray that God does. Maybe if some of us can get together. Maybe that's what the concern for each other looks like. It looks not just, by the way, not just like materially, but spiritually as well. If you have a spiritual issue and struggle going on, I so appreciate it. Absolutely. And they're not here this morning, and I wish they were. But I told them this. When I sent out the prayer for the spiritual battles that were going on, and I mentioned young Elena and Nellie, and just the spiritual struggles and stuff, and I said, no, you sure you want me to, I have permission from you to share this. Yes, I want that. Why would I not want the church to pray for this? And I just like, I just was like, glory. That's exactly what should happen. When we go through stuff, it's not, I'm going to keep it to myself. But hey, I'm struggling with something. Will you pray for me? Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray right now. Let's get together. Let's get some coffee. Hey, can two or three of us come over and pray with you? Devotion to the person and the work of Jesus necessarily will look like concern for each other. Now verse 46 and the first part of verse 47 says this, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Specifically there, you can see they went home to home and they were glad and they were generous with each other and they praised God. You see, necessarily what happens is devotion will lead to worship. Now, it's important that you kind of take a step back from here, and what we need to do is take what we've started in chapter 1 all the way through chapter 2 and kind of like that 40,000-foot helicopter view and see everything that's going on. Why did they worship? Why? What led to this worship? What were they devoted to that led to this worship? Remember, the Holy Spirit is here, and he's indwelling them. Peter said, this is that. Hey, look, this is the fulfillment of the word of God, which encouraged them and gave them great hope and peace and comfort and encouragement. And the gospel is going out now in every language. People were speaking in other languages that they weren't familiar with, the speakers weren't familiar with. Many people are coming to faith, 3,000 here in verse 41. They are publicly identifying with the gospel, how in baptism, right? Going under the water and being raised to walk in newness of life. There's all these people. They're publicly gathering to share meals, one of which was the Lord's Supper. The disciples are teaching them truth, and they're intentionally get together to review what Jesus had done for them and among them. All of this was going on. And as they're devoted to this, because all of these things work like this together, a healthy church, God moving, concern for each other, all of these things, what happens? When a church is devoted to that, when God's people are devoted to that, worship happens. Worship happens. It happens all the time. Just think of the answers to prayer. Just think about the things God's done in our church in this last handful of years. It's been absolutely amazing what God has done. God. And that what that does is that leads us to worship, to praise him, to thank him, to call back to him, hey, you're worthy, to call back to him, you're good, to call back to him, you're long-suffering. Worship, because he is worthy. That's what happens when as believers are devoted. Jesus is glorified. Jesus is worshiped. There's one more that's taught, the second half of verse 47. Second half of verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, as this church was devoted to the glory of Jesus, as they worshiped, their culture noticed. Here was a diverse group of people. They were diverse in age. They were diverse in socioeconomic status. They were diverse in gender. They were diverse in ethnicity. But no matter what the diversity was, they were concerned for each other. They met each other's needs. They hung out together. There was a common bond that brought them together, and people noticed. Their love and community, their devotion was what? Evangelistic. There are, I think, in the scripture, approximately, there are right around 94 one another statements in the scripture. One another statements, like this. Mark 9, verse 50 says, be at peace with one another. Romans 15, 7 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Ephesians 4, 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Church, when we are devoted to this one another things, this healthy church, concerned, when God moves, when all these concern, when we're devoted to this, people notice. People notice. What they notice is the fruit of the Spirit. They notice not what they see in a secular culture. They what they long for is what they see. People are longing for love and joy and peace. And they're like, man, that group of people has it. What is it about them? What makes them different? You see, our love is evangelistic. Our concern is evangelistic. Our joy is evangelistic. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so, church, God works when His church lives this life of devotion to the glory of Jesus. Now, this everyday life of devotion, is it easy? I don't think so. But it's possible. It's possible. It's possible because the Holy Spirit indwells you. I really appreciated how Glenn prayed for us right before our teaching time here about the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's possible because He changed you, because He gave you a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The word therefore points, refers back in that text, refers back to earlier verses where Paul tells us that believers have died with Christ and they no longer live for themselves. Our lives are no longer worldly, they're now spiritual lives. Our death is that of the old sin nature that was nailed to the cross with Christ. And that old sin nature was crucified, it was murdered, right? Now, we still have the struggle, but we were raised to walk in newness of life. We were given a new heart. Therefore, we too are raised up. It's possible, but here's the question. Is it happening? Are you, and you need to think about you, not about the person next to you or across the room, are you a devoted person? We have an illustration of this devotion and then lack of devotion in our scriptures. It's the church of Corinth. They were devoted. They looked like Acts chapter 2. But then they lost focus. They lost their first love. Paul writes this to the church. He says this, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings, they do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there has to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. You know, fighting for who's the most spiritual. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, where they're giving remembrance and praise for all that God had done together and unified. They were a healthy church. They're no longer healthy. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead in your own private suppers. Well, let's just go ahead. Some of you go ahead, and as a result, one person, he remains hungry because you guys ate it all. And another person, he gets drunk because he drank most of the wine instead of sharing it with everybody. Don't you have homes to go eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not. See, the Corinthians, as a church, is a warning to us as believers today. Acts chapter 2 is what we should look like, what we should be devoted to. We should be devoted to the apostles' teaching and prayer and breaking of bread and fellowship. We should, and devotion will lead to movement, and devotion leads to concern and worship and evangelism and all of those things. But this church became more internal, more worried about themselves. Obviously, the core of all this is selfishness. A life more interested in themselves than to the devotion and the work of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, there was faction, there was bitterness, there was anger, there was a number of things. God wasn't working, there was not movement like there could have been. This church looked exactly like Acts chapter 2, but then over time it became the opposite of what happened here in Acts chapter 2. And I'm glad for that text there because, church, it is a warning to us that over time, and we sing the old hymn, Lord, prone to wander how I feel it, right? Prone to leave the God that I love. And we as a church can be prone to that as well. We lose focus. We leave our first love. And Acts chapter 2 not only doesn't happen, it can't happen. So I want to guard us. I want to challenge us today, church, as we launch, as we continue to move forward. We have some exciting news. I look at Berean just like Acts chapter 2. These amazing, powerful things that are happening, and a church growing, and God doing amazing things. May we be devoted to the person and the work of Jesus. Glorify Jesus, so what? Because that devotion will lead to, continue to support and lead and maintain a healthy church. God will move. There'll be concern for each other. Will lead us to worship. When we come together, we praise God. And that in turn does what? Hey, I want to be part of that. There's something different about that person, those people. So this morning, would you evaluate your heart personally? Are you devoted to the person and work of Jesus as you're able to, obviously, and then to be a healthy church and movement, concern, and these things that you see on the screen? We won't see what we want to see happen here unless we look like this, unless our hearts look like this. And so may we live for the glory of Jesus as a body of believers. And I hope that encourages and challenges you today. I want to take some time together to respond to this challenge this morning as a church. And so just right there in your seat, if you would just take a few moments, whatever the Lord, the Holy Spirit is working on in your heart right now, perhaps devotion or lack of devotion, maybe you just need to be encouraged, you are devoted, and you want, just take the next few moments there in the quietness of your seat and interact with the teaching of the text this morning. Would you do that? Lord, for a church that does love you, that is concerned about the glory of Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that we as a church, as a whole, collectively, would be devoted to that, so that way we could be a healthy church, see you move, concerned to grow for each other, Lord, as we worship, and other people, that would be evangelistic. Lord, that's our heartbeat. And so, Lord, practically speaking, encourage those here who are devoted, that do their part. Encourage them, to help them to not to grow weary in that well-doing, to continue pursuing, beholding, enjoying, and pursuing Jesus. And then for perhaps those that are not, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do your work of convincing, convicting this morning. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Thank you for your attendance and attention to the text this morning, an encouraging text to see what's going, what God's doing in the life of the church. And that could be us, and it is us, and I want to continue to see God do that. I hope you have a great week. May the Lord's face shine upon you. I love you all. If you need me, let me know. Have a great week. You are dismissed.